All right, all right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coffee with Candace J. My name is Candace Jones, and I just love all things coffee and conversations. And I am so happy today to have my special guest. Let's do a drum roll. Yes, let's come on, hype it up. Yes. To my dear friend, my sister from another mister, my old work bestie, we used to work together for a long time, Miss Shalia Harris. Woo, woo, woo,
Hey,
woo,
hey. Hey, friend,
woo. Yes. Hey, friend. Yes. I'm cheesing because I am just so happy to see you. I am so happy to see you.
Likewise, likewise. Thank you for the invite. When you text me, I was like, wait a minute. Did she text the right person? You are me? You
Yeah,
are me?
come on now. Yes, of course.
Whatever you ask me to do, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
Ma'am, I do.
yes, yes. So tell everybody who you are, what you do, and then we'll get right on to it.
Sure. So I'll make it very quick and easy. Shalia Harris, native of Memphis, big Memphis, love the city, hype it up every chance I get. What I do, I would say that I'm a light holder. If I had to wrap everything up, I'm a light holder and I'm a corporate storyteller. And then whatever else God has me to do, I'm all those things as well.
Right.
But that's what I would highlight, a light holder and a corporate storyteller. If you do hear a dog in the background, it's mine.
Yes.
He's probably barking at somebody outside who's minding their own business. But just disregard the dog barking.
Listen, Andy is famous. I mean,
Oh
all over
my
social media.
goodness.
So you know where you go, he goes. So
Yes.
I love it. I
Yes.
love it. I love it. So first, before we get into everything, I hope you all have your coffee mugs. Doesn't matter what you plan on sipping on. It is 5 o'clock my time, 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. But I had to bring up again, I brought this on the first episode. This is from Shalia, who sent this to me. My 40th birthday, child. I was like, I ain't never had a coffee mug like this. Now this is
I
amazing.
saw the crown. I was like, that's her.
Listen,
That's
that's all the things. I was like, yes, this was it was
Oh,
perfect, friend. But I'm
yeah.
not gonna mess that up today. I got something just to commemorate when we worked together at Bartlett. I had a student give me this for teacher appreciation. Y'all take a look at this.
I did the same thing. I got one of my old teacher mugs. Mine was
Yes.
silently correcting your grammar.
And I'm one of those teachers, you have to correct my grammar sometimes because I'm country for real, but
Yes,
I give it
it'll
to them
come in.
real.
Yep, it'll come
I
out.
don't mind being corrected, but I definitely, this right here, yes, ma'am.
Yep,
That
this is
student had
mine.
it perfect. I was like, yes, y'all know me so well. Just give me 5 minutes, y'all. Just give me a second. Let me sip it a little bit, get it in my system, and then we good to go. But that's what we're about. So again, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. Make sure that you like and share so that we can have a good old time tonight. Okay, so I'm also sharing to my Facebook page, Modern Day Hannah's. My Instagram is Candace L underscore Jones. I like to promote my book, and we'll talk about that later on. But let's get into today's topic. Go ahead and like and share, and come on in and grab yourself some coffee or whatever you like to sip on at this time, and we're gonna have a good time. So today's topic is no kids, no problems. With the question mark. Very interesting. So for those of you all who don't know, and I say it about every show because some people may not know, I didn't have kids for a long time. I'm talking about for a long time. My husband and I have been married now for 17 years, but for 16 of those years, we didn't have any children. And a lot of times you get a lot of people giving unsolicited advice, you know, that you didn't ask for about children, or you hold a baby. It's like, oh, you getting your training, you know, you get it's like I'm just holding a baby, you know, chill out, you know. And you get all the things, you know, as far as, and I talked about this on another episode where people would give me unsolicited like sex advice. I'm like, first of all, how did we get to this conversation? Like, we didn't, I never said I needed any help. I did, I mean, I'm just, I never said that, Shelly. I never said, where did we get this? And I mean, God bless, you know, those people, those women. I love everybody. It's just that I feel like it's time to have these much needed conversations, right, you know, surrounding even women who are single and not married, and those pressures that come with, okay, you're getting on up there and you don't have any children, you know, or, you know, you don't have a husband or whatever. And it's like, I came up with these questions surrounding that. So I would love to hear your thoughts, because I love all the things. I used to call it, when we used to work together, my Shalia tea, like, what's the tea today? So I had to get you on to hear your thoughts. So my first question is, what is something that you wish you could say to other women about their unsolicited dialogue with other women when it comes to dating, marriage, babies, other pressures?
So, you don't know people's story. I would always keep that in mind. And just some things that I have gone through personally really changed my perspective on how I speak to other women, how I talk about whether it's dating or marriage or children, whatever. I speak to people differently. Mm-hmm. I try to consider, you know, I don't know what she has walked through. Right. I don't know what her experiences are. So I don't want to say anything that might trigger an emotion. And they have to deal with that when they leave me. Now I'm responsible for that. Right. I do. So I just take into consideration that I would say, you know, for all women, just be considerate. Just mm-hmm. take a second and think before you. There you go. Just take a quick second to think before you say something. Even if you have, you know, good intentions about it, mm-hmm. You can say, you know, well, do you have kids? People ask me all the time, do you have kids? And it seems like a very simple question, but you have no idea what I've gone through. You have no idea right. maybe another woman has gone through. She might have just lost a child.
Right.
Or, you know, do you have kids? And so now I'm asking women, even if I bring it up, I might ask them, well, tell me about yourself. If I'm like just meeting someone, well, is your family here? I'll say family
right.
instead of husband or kids. I'll say, well, tell me about your family. Is your family here? And I'll let them mm-hmm. introduce it that way instead of me asking, oh, is your husband here or mm-hmm. is your kids here with you? So I just kind of changed the way that I ask questions. That will be my advice. Just take an extra second to think about what you're saying and how it could impact that person.
I agree 100%. Sometimes when you've been in those situations on the other end, it makes you more conscientious.
Right.
Look at me.
I knew what you meant.
It definitely, you know, helps you to become more aware of, you know, other people and what they've gone through as well. Even if they haven't experienced exactly what you've right. experienced,
right.
You take into consideration, okay, maybe I shouldn't ask that particular question because you don't know.
Right.
And sometimes people are just trying to make, you know, cordial conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in this time, in this day and age, there are so many things that there are some women that are going through that they're going through therapy for, that they've seen counselors for, and those slight little words can be those triggers. And again, that's not saying that you just, you know, it's all on you and it's all your fault and you shouldn't have said those things. But it's just to have that in the back of your mind the next time that you're around other women at just a greeting, a meeting, a party, wherever you are, just to keep in mind, instead of bringing those things up, you know, well, tell me about your family,
right?
Or where you're from and things like that. And I think that can, you know, just have more depth to the conversation just versus children. Why does it always have to go towards children, right? Right. Oh, yes, I got my girl. Lakina Booker on. Hey, Lakina. Yes.
Thank you. Lakina. I haven't heard from her in so long.
Yes. Lakina just, you know, wanted to drop in and thank you for being so vulnerable. Thank you, Lakina. You know, listen, y'all know me. Y'all know that. Listen, this is just what I love to do. And I thank you all for being a part, and make sure that you all like and share. If you see me leaning over to the side, you know, that's just me trying to get everything together on my phone and sharing properly. But I agree 100%. There have been some times where, you know, I say everything would be okay. You know, I've been in situations where women, where we would be in a class teaching and people would ask me about, you know, kids and things like that. And it used to get angry inside and just like, y'all, mind your business. And I had to learn not to, you know, snap back and things like that, because they're kids. They're just curious. And I talk about that in my book, how a lot of times kids just want to know because they say, you know, well, you'd make a great mom, you know. So I just wanted to know. But with the adults and the unsolicited advice, we've had unsolicited advice about marriage. And, you know, my husband and I would look at each other like, dang, like, we're okay. Thank you, but we good. You know, it's one of those things of be careful of how you're talking to people when it comes to marriage and dating and kids. Because again, even when you're not married, you know, asking, that's just like asking someone single, you know, when you gonna get married? We waiting on your dress.
Yep.
We waiting on you. It's like, okay, we'll keep waiting, ma'am.
Right. I'll let you know when it's time.
We'll let you know, you know? So those type of things, you never know how some women are dealing with depression. I never really talked about it, but I dealt with some depression in my own sense, where I felt just at a low, you know, when you're going so long without children. Mm-hmm. And you pray and you're a believer and you prayed over people and you've spoken over people and what they needed to do. And then you see them with kids and then you don't have children. Yeah, it can be very discouraging. And so then they bring that unsolicited advice. It's like, trust me, I know to pray. I know.
We know the word too. We know God too.
I know the word. You know, I know the word. Thank you.
Right.
You know, but no, thank you. Like, mm-hmm. just chill out and let God work it out in his time. And clearly, you know, with us adopting, that was God's will for us, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful. As I said, I'm just grateful. I'm going to get into some more stuff later. Again, everybody, make sure that you're liking and sharing. We got to boost our conversations up. I got to hear from the people what y'all got to say. Yes, thank you so much. All right, so let's get into our second question. In what ways do you believe you have been a mother figure throughout adulthood, and why is that role needed in our communities, in your opinion?
I immediately go to my time in the classroom. Mm-hmm. When you are a teacher, when you're an educator, you are literally everything to those children throughout the day and beyond. You are everything. And so before that, I would say just being an aunt or being a big cousin, an older cousin, just naturally taking on the role of nurturing, taking care of the kids that are around me. Even if I've had cousins that are 2 or 3 years younger than me, and I still will take on that motherly role with them. It's just what I saw growing up. Mm-hmm. It was more of a, this is our village. This is our responsibility. Yes. All the women, especially on my mom's side, took care of the whole neighborhood, fed everybody. Mm-hmm. And so just growing up and seeing that, it was just natural to take on that motherly role. Mm-hmm. But I would say officially being a teacher, being an educator, that was really my true first experience. Because my students, I treated them like they were actually my kids. I took mm-hmm. them as if they were going home with me when we left school that day. But I do feel that role is needed, but I do feel like it's missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's missing and we need it desperately, especially with our community. But I miss the days where, you know, if somebody down the street caught me doing something, and they told my mom was going to handle it. And she was going to allow the neighbor to handle it too. It was no, oh, well, my child doesn't do anything wrong. It was no, if Miss So-and-so caught you doing something, she's going to pop you. And then when right. you get home, me and your daddy going to pop you. And so I think we're missing that level of responsibility just as a community. It's still there in pockets, but it's not like it used to be. We have to have that. We have to have that extra layer of nurturing and mothering for our kids.
Definitely. I mean, of course, you know, I agree 100%. I've been in education now. Almost 2 decades. This is year 17. Praise his name. So yeah. I've seen all the kids. And, you know, my husband and I youth pastored back home mm-hmm. in Memphis. And that was our last youth pastoring of kids. That when we left during the pandemic, I'm talking about, I didn't even know that was going to hurt the way it did. Not so much, you know, leaving Memphis. It was the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the family, the friends that you make, but the kids. It was during the pandemic. We weren't even supposed to be just all up on each other. But during our parade, like all the kids from our youth group, those who have even graduated, they just held me. I was like, oh, Lord.
I know.
Just broke. I said, I could, it just hurt just to leave them. And when we came back, we brought the boys to a meet and greet, you know, recently. And so I'm like, man, we miss y'all. And I said, man, these were our kids. Yeah. Yeah. When you're at a church for over a decade, you've seen, you know, the kids grow up. They've been to your house and vice versa. You've been to graduations, games,
right?
You know, all of those things. And I say that to say, to agree with you, is we need more community leaders, educators. Lakina is, you know, the founder and leader over a whole Memphis Merit Academy. You know, I got to shout you out, friend.
Right.
You know, and she does all the things, and she, your mom over all those kids, you know, that's a huge, you know, blessing that God has placed in our hands that a lot of us educators don't really realize that weight that you carry is that sometimes we have to give them food.
Clothes.
You know, they don't want that stuff in the cafeteria.
Right.
You know, it's the food, you know, there's clothing closets, there's all the things. The parents will be at the house with two cars in the driveway after a game. And it's like, we're having to drive people home.
Right.
During the pandemic, we've gone several places to get the kids the things. And that to me has shown me and has helped us to become parents, being, you know, educators. When we were going through our training, a lot of people don't know you go through extensive training to bring kids into your house. Like they're coming.
Well, rightfully so.
Rightfully so, because they don't know you.
Right.
You're going through all the training, everybody. And I believe that we did very well, that people were very impressed with us because we're both educators, both been coaches forever. Right. Youth pastoring and all the things. So it's like when people say you holding a baby, like, oh, you getting your practice, like, baby, I'm not new to this.
On this.
Like, thank you. That's cute. But we ain't new to this. We ain't new to this. Like you said, the auntie, I think people forget, like, Mikhail has a whole brother and his wife with two kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, since the womb, they teenagers now, Lord.
Yes. I remember that we'll always be with y'all. Oh my goodness.
13 and almost 16. Yes.
Wow.
They big. And it's like since they were babies, we would have them on the weekends, taking them to church and
brought them to the school. That's how I met them.
The school. Listen, after work, you have to pick them up. We were doing the things, you know, helping as a village with our niece and nephew. And so it's not to say you feel insulted, by no means. And again, I always say people mean very well. It's just the simple fact of you don't have to be a biological parent to be a mom, you know, and a lot of people will see you and have seen you as a mother figure, you know, and father figure for men that are watching, that are mentors, you know, in these communities that are, in a sense, parenting a lot better than some of the biological parents out there. So keep that in mind when people, you know, discredit that sometimes, that, yeah, we've been doing these things, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, I love, yeah, good conversation. Yes. Let me put in my girl again. She says, my sister has definitely helped rear my kids. It was important. My aunts and uncles are also hold as a critical place in my life. Exactly. You know, as a community.
That's that village. You know,
yeah, it's a village. It's definitely a village. Even the church that we go to, and then I move on. The reason that we chose the church that we're attending now, New Covenant in Athens, it felt like a village, a community that we needed. We were right in the transition of adopting, and it was like, okay, we need a youth group, you know, a solid youth group for the boys because they need Jesus. Amen.
Right.
Amen. So we need, you know, the programs that they're doing every week with them. We also need to feel a sense of community, that support, because, again, our families are in Memphis and in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a few cousins in Atlanta, but everybody's busy, you know, with the things. We need that, you know, that village of your church, your faith-based community. And so church is so, you know, is our root. God, you know, is our foundation. The church is our roots. And so we want to make sure that they are raised in that sense too, mm-hmm. that they understand your community, your church community is so, you know, invaluable. And they were there, our pastor, his wife, the worship leader that I sing with on Sundays, his wife was there. They wow. were there in the courtroom, wow. you know, with us. They drove up from Athens and met us in Atlanta. And again, we had like just joined. So for that, we're like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These are people here. You yeah. know, we need to be able to touch and they touch us, you know, mm-hmm. where they know our names, where if we need prayer, you know, right. over these kids, it's not, well, who it is, who's the fan, who are they? We don't right. know them. Right. Like, right. you know us.
Right.
And so that was so important for us. So community is everything, guys. Yeah. You know, you have to have your precautions, of course, this day and age, but, you know, community is everything. Mm-hmm. So let's move on. Let's keep it moving, everybody. And please put your comments in the chat. I hope you don't mind me sharing, but I'd love to hear from everybody as well. My next question to my friend is, when dating?
Oh, Lord.
let me set this up, everybody. Again, ooh. I used to, you know, we used to work together at Barley, and I used to pop in.
What's the tea?
Listen, she had all the good things. We had to get back to the classroom. Okay, oh, so anyway, when dating, when do you believe it's important to know how many children your companion has, and when would be considered the best time to meet the children, in your opinion?
Okay. When to know how many children they have, that should be first conversation. When you're talking about, you know, who you are, what you do, where you're from, and your family, that should be first conversation. If they do have children, when would be considered the best time to meet the children? It depends. I've dated a few guys that had kids, and some of them I met the children, some of them I did not. I was not offended either okay. way. The children that I did meet, it was maybe 3 or 4 months into the relationship. It was a chance for me and the guy to get to know each other a little bit more, mm-hmm. For him to get to know me, my background, and trust me enough, because you don't want to bring just anybody around your children.
Right.
So I wasn't offended by the time or anything. I thought it was a little soon for me, but I was just going with the flow, like, sure. You know, I love children all day long. So the timing doesn't matter to me, but I think the best time, it has to be between those two people, what makes sense for them. If there's a mother that's involved, or mothers that are involved, depending on the situation, it depends on them too. Because if I had children, you know, I would want to know who this person is. That they're, you know, engaging with. So all that depends on the two people that are in a relationship with each other, what they decide on, what's best for them and what's best for the children. So mm-hmm. there's really no set time that I would even suggest. Just have a real conversation about it, because you don't want to have a whole bunch of women or a whole bunch of men popping in front of your kids.
Right.
Just the optics aren't good. That's number one. The optics are not good. But then you have to think about, what am I teaching my child? What are they seeing? You know, the behavior of their parent. What am I showing them? And then this person, when they get in front of my children, are they going to change? Could they can completely change to somebody different. And so you have to have all those real deep conversations, because children are, that's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother level. So mm-hmm. a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with you. I mean, I'm not dating, obviously married, but my sister, Carol, she's now married. She's been married for 2 years, but prior to them getting married, she was with him, I guess, for 6 years or so dating. Mm-hmm. And immediately she met the boys. He has twin boys that she's stepmothering to, bonus mother to. And I mean, doing all the things, helping with the homework, You know, she would have the charts all around the walls because she used to be a math teacher and you know, moved on to all the other great things. But she would have the charts on the wall, helping picking them up, taking them to football. And obviously, you know, he had in mind, you know, for her to be, you know, his wife. And so it's so important, you know, to think about, okay, is this person potentially going to be my spouse?
Right.
You know, let's see how they are when they're angry, when they're happy, you know, what are their triggers, you know, what's their love language,
right?
All the things, because you're potentially bringing this person as a union, as a new family dynamic.
Right.
We know that the divorce rate in this country is high and a lot of people remarry. And so, you know, having those honest and vulnerable conversations are needed, you know, up front, because, you know, she was divorced and she didn't have any children with her ex-husband. But, you know, you have to keep in mind the world that you're coming into when it involves the children.
Right.
You know, 100% that I agree with you with this, because and again, like, the timing, of course, is everything, but making sure that as we're just having this honest dialogue, you know, that it's important to have those conversations early. Do you have children? Mm-hmm. And dating, you know, in my opinion, you're looking for the potential candidate to be your spouse. And so it's so important to be invested in the, you know, your children and making sure they know what the children are like and all of those things. And make sure you all know whoever's watching, feel free to chime in. You know, we're not experts on any topic. We're just having a good old time, just sipping and chatting. So come on in and give your thoughts however you see fit. We're going to move forward. Now, this is my final question of the night, everybody. I don't know if you saw this viral video. I think I saw it on the TikTok. But and there are several, of course, videos like this. But there was a woman who was not with her partner anymore. And they had a child together. And so the child was being watched by the man's new girlfriend or wife. We weren't sure if it was a girlfriend or new wife, in which we can talk about the differences in just a second. But the new woman was watching the child. Child got disrespectful. Y'all following? Child got disrespectful. So the new woman contacts the dad, like, what do I want you, what can I do about this? He says, discipline her. So she put her hands on her. Okay. Child then goes to her mom. And so mom is cutting the food because no one talked to her and asked her for permission. So my last question is this: if you become a bonus mom, what are your thoughts behind punishing the children? And what do you believe is the best way to build a trustworthy relationship with the children?
Ooh, that is such a good question. Oh, gosh. Because I feel deep down in my spirit, I will be a bonus mom. I just I feel it. So when it comes to punishing children, all the adults have to be in agreement. Mm-hmm. That is, in my opinion, that is the smoothest way to go into the situation. The children also, children or child, has to understand, even though this is not your biological mom or your biological dad, they're still responsible for you. So when they say, no, don't do this, or yes, do this, you need to do it as if dad were here or as if mom were here. It's the same thing. But there has to be a real conversation with the adults in the room. Mm-hmm. Have to be on one accord with that. And then again, what you mentioned earlier, you want to see this person before you even get to this stage. You want to see them in all their seasons, when they're happy, when they're sad, when they're mad, how they respond. And even when you're not around, what are they doing? How is their behavior with your kids? So to answer the question, I think that it has to be a conversation between all the adults. Everyone has to come into agreement. And it might be, yes, go ahead and punish, but here's how we punish the kids. Or it might be, you know, if it gets to a certain level, we don't put our hands on the kids, depending on, you know, what they raise their children to be like or how they punish them. So have to have that conversation. What do I believe is the best way to build a trustworthy relationship with the children? I think being honest, Mm-hmm. I think that's the best what happened. Honest conversation, despite what the age of the child is. They could be 3 years old. They can be 13 years old. But if you break it down to them in a way that they understand, you know, this is so-and-so, mm-hmm. part of our family, or he's a part of our family now, and this is how it's going to be. I think just being honest and show the children that you care about them, not just being with their mom or their dad. You actually care and you love them.
Yeah.
And you want to see them prosper and do well. You want the best for them. If they see that and it's genuine, which it should be, then that trust is automatically going to build automatically. So have a real conversation. That's the first part. Have a real conversation with the adults. Agree on what punishment should be. Agree on the types of behaviors that need to be called out. But then when it comes to building that trust with the children, just be honest and show up genuinely.
I love that. I love that. Let's go to some comments real quick. Some people chiming in. Hey, Sabrina. Sabrina says, don't put your hands on the other partner's children, period.
It might be the safest way.
Candy says, hey, Candy girl, honesty and communication is definitely key for all involved. I agree with you all. I think that if you have agreed, because every parent is different. If you say, yes, you can physically discipline my child to spank my child, you know, whoop my child. I think, again, as you said, that needs to be, you know, dealt with at the very beginning, very honest, and with the child in the room, like, so that they know, look, if she's babysitting you know that we give whoopings, and just making sure that this person knows you can't go overboard. Like, we're not saying bruising and throw them up, you know, we ain't saying all of that. But as long as everyone understands the dynamic, I think that, again, if it's honest in the beginning, I think it's fine. In a sense, it's almost like, as we said, with educators, mm-hmm. like back in the day, we used to get spankings, you know, you would get paddled, you know, anybody remember that?
Yeah.
And so you would get that form going home to say, you know, you have my permission or you don't have permission to spank my child. But that was given the first day of school, mm-hmm. right? The very first day. And so everybody knew. I knew going, taking that to the teacher. The teacher knew I could get paddled at any time. That was their worst fear, but it wasn't something that I just, you know, wasn't aware of. Mm-hmm. And it's the same in any type of other parental figure relationship with the adult that has to watch the child and being entrusted with, you know, that child's safety and all mm-hmm. the things. Mm-hmm. As long as it is communicated in the beginning. And even now, being as a new mom, we're learning, you know, we're learning this parenting journey, y'all, even with disciplining. Sometimes I feel like I'm the bad cop. Like, am I the bad cop? All the time? you know, Cam will take it there at some point. You know, that Memphis came out in one good time. Hey, mine. Yes. Yeah. You know. Look, when that Maine come out, you know.
Right.
So, you know, my thing is, you know, we're learning as well as far as, listen, this is what goes. And they got to know, if I said no, don't take it over here.
Right.
Having that communication open and constantly flowing, that they understand those things. And I tell people all the time, again, we're not perfect. They're doing well, but we're still learning, because I have to go and settle myself sometimes.
Right.
I was talking to my friend, y'all, before we came on. I said, listen, this 41 is 41.
This 41. Listen,
because my patience ain't all the way there. So I had to give them the look today at church, at the picnic at church.
Not the look.
You know, and they knew what that meant. Like,
right.
You know, we can pack up and take this thing to the house.
Right.
So it's one of those things, like, as you said, just to have those, you know, those open conversations. And I think as a community, we got to get back to that. A lot of times, you know, back in the day, we used to sit around, you would talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got to have a family meeting, you don't have to call it a meeting, you know, call it whatever you want. But we got to get back to where we're talking to these kids and not just, we going to punish and then that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying at all that I'm against spanking. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is there needs to be some type of conversation that takes place. I love what Candy said too. Yes, don't bamboozle the children. Oftentimes adults leave the kids out. Exactly. Yeah. What I'm trying to wrap this up with is as long as they know, you know, then they should be fine. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the problem of how that video went viral. That was my immediate thought. There was no conversation.
Right.
You know,
right.
No matter how you feel about the baby daddy, the ex, whoever it is, you know, why wasn't there a conversation that was had, you know, at the beginning? And that's just my encouragement to somebody who may become a bonus mom, you know, bonus dad and things like this. This is what we're doing. We're just having open dialogue because these things got to be talked about because we don't want the worst to happen.
Right. And right? Candace, I was thinking about just me dating now. When I do date, my questions are different. I need to know this person, and I know that they have children and that it could be a potential of me being a bonus mom. The questions are different now. It's no more what's your favorite color? It's how, you know, what's your favorite
color? Give us an example, because I feel like, is that like the Steve Harvey, y'all remember the movie, and he was like, what's your short-term goal?
It's not even on that anymore. If I know that there are children involved and there's a potential, I'm asking questions about, you know, when you were growing up, what did discipline look like to you? You know, and they should be able to ask me that same question. So if that time comes, just thinking about this question in particular, that person should know, well, when she grew up and she was being punished, she stood in the corner. But I got an extension cord. So that's what punishment looked like to me. And so your question should be different as you're dating before you even get to this point where you are the official bonus mom or bonus dad. You have to get a little bit deeper than just surface level.
Yeah, I agree. It made me think about, again, and we're wrapping up, everybody. But it made me think about, again, when we were going through all of our training before we adopted the boys, we had to have them in the house for 6 months. They had to move in full-fledged school, all the things for 6 months. And they give you all types of questions. When I say questions, it's questions.
Which, again,
we agree with because you're turning children over to a new family. We get it. But when I say they go deep, it's like these type of, you know, questions need to be asked, like you said, in relationships, all of that. They got into our history with our, what was your relationship like with your father?
Yeah.
You know, with your biological mother, you know, how is it today? You know, were you estranged as children? What happened? What would trigger you now as, you know, from your child? Like, whoo.
Those are good questions though. Those should be dating questions. Dating questions.
Yes, it made you just start thinking like, wow, because we're becoming parents and, you know, all of the things that you need to get rid of and don't take from your parents, you got to keep those in mind. The great things that you got from your parents. Okay, yeah, we need to incorporate these things. And so it causes you to really think. And I was like, those are like great dating questions as well, because I mean, they really made you dive into your past. It was like therapy. We had to go through parent coaching and all those types of things, but it really has you to think about where you came from and why you would do the certain things that you would do. Let's hear from Lakina again. She says, I was just about to say that should also be discussed during dating or notably observed. Definitely. So y'all, this has been a great conversation. This doesn't have to end here. You can feel free to like and share again to your page. Make sure that you do that. Again, please make sure that you continue to comment, have these conversations with your friends. Ask what do they think. If you have any topics that you want me to bring up next week, please feel free to inbox me, DM me, and let me know so that we can have some good old conversation over some coffee. Yes, I want to make sure my friend has some time to give her final thoughts, any prayer requests, anything that you all want to talk about as far as prayer is concerned or final thoughts that you all have. And that's for you, Shalia. What's your final thought, Shalia?
My final thoughts on this. One, I appreciate the conversation. I hope and pray that you continue this on and go deeper. We definitely need to talk about this. It needs to be a part of our chats with our friends and families and coworkers and all of that. This is great dialogue, definitely. I would just encourage any woman who is single, looking to be married, because it's because you're single doesn't mean you want to be married. Any woman who does not have children, maybe wants them, or if you don't have children and you're like me and you really don't want children of your own, you want to be a bonus mama, you want to be a great aunt or a great community member, whatever, because that is definitely my ministry. that is my ministry. But just to know that that's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fit in any type of box with society or culture. I am a single woman hoping to be married again one day. That is my prayer. I feel like it will happen. But I've never dreamed about having my own children. Even as a child, that's never been any part of my dream. And I was made to feel like something was wrong with that. And as I continue to get older, that's okay. This is my life. I'm the only one that can live it. And this is what I desire. Now, we all know if the Lord says, I need you to do A, B, and C, I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's just do it. We know that. But that's never been a huge desire of mine. And that is okay.
Okay.
You can live a fulfilled life.
Yes.
And it is okay. Because whether you have your own children or not, there are going to be some kids around you at some point, and you still have a responsibility.
Yes.
Make sure that you are nurturing them, that you are taking care of them in any way, whether it's just to give them an encouraging word if you pass by them in the grocery store.
Yes.
You know, you have that responsibility. So it's okay. Live your life. It is okay.
Yes. I love that you said that, friend. That's also a part of my book. For those who are tuning in and who don't know, I wrote a book that was recently published called Modern Day Hannahs. It's available out on Amazon. If you've read it, please leave a review. Thank you for those who have left a review so far. I talk about that very thing. If you don't have children, it is okay. If you don't want children, it is okay. The world is not stopping. The world is not ending. You're not any less of a woman. You're not... we're in a place where God isn't using you and your purpose in life. It's like, woo, we are bigger than our uterus and what comes out of the uterus.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Like,
right.
God has a greater purpose for us all. And it's not just to mother. There's other, you know, and a lot of times I think there are some moms who think that's just your only sole purpose in life. And it's like, no, man, because the kid's going to grow up one day, right?
Right.
Your job is to raise them, you know, and to love God and serve God and things like that. But they gonna leave the house. What's your? Right. You have other great things that God has in store for you to do, you know. So making sure that you understand that if you don't have the children, it's okay, you know, and you will be perfectly fine with fulfilling what God has for you to do. So I love those final thoughts. I agree with you. I'm so glad that you joined me tonight, friend. Yeah. I already knew it was going to be good.
Thank you for the invite. Yes.
I knew it was going to be good. Thank you all so much again for tuning in tonight. Please follow my new Facebook page, Modern Day Hannahs, for more discussions about my book and just some different things. If you know a woman who is going through the same journey that I did with longing for children and did not, please follow that page. Our Instagrams have also been shared as well. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We love you guys. All right. See you next time. Sip and chat with us on Coffee with Candace J. Bye.